So a disturbing trend that we see often in many churches is the apparent apathy of many Christians. You know, we could attend services, but it appears that we're only going through the motions. We're singing, we're praying, we're doing our Bible study, but we're not in it. We're not really in it. You know, many Christians lead lives of quiet desperation. And I think God desires more for His children. You know, and I compare this to athletes that are in slumps in athleticism, especially in baseball. You see, if a guy can't hit the ball, he gets into a slump. He beats himself up. And it takes them, they talk about it all the time. Oh, man, so-and-so's in a slump. Used to be a real good athlete, but now he's just in this slump. He's depressed, he's discouraged, he's struggling. And I think the more he focuses on that, the more that slump comes on. But even for him, just for us, it needs to get back to the fundamentals. How did he hit that ball? How did he focus on that ball? What did he do to... But again, he's focusing on the slump. In our Christian life, we need to get back to the basics. We need to get back to the fundamentals. Look with me to first Romans chapter 15, 13. Romans chapter 15, verse 13 says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." How amazing is that? We can abound in hope. We can have all the joy. We can have all the peace through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let us open up with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We just thank you for what all you have here for us. We just thank you for the many blessings that you give to us. We just pray that you'll speak to each and every one of us. We're all at different phases in our life. We're all at different relationships with you in our life. We just pray that you'll help us see what we're struggling with, see what we're needing help with. We just pray that you'll lead and guide us, Lord, this morning. And we just pray in your precious Son's name. Amen. The first point this morning I have is to energize your faith. What is faith? And in Scripture, if you look at Hebrews 11:1, it's the scriptural definition of faith. And 11:1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Another definition is affirms a firm conviction. Maybe a confident trust. I like to say faith is taking God at His word. When you read it, you believe it. You know it. You know it to be true. What is the importance of faith? You can see in Hebrews 11:6. "But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Without faith, it is impossible to please the Lord Jesus Christ. Throughout the entire Word of God, from Genesis 1:1 all the way through Revelation, faith is a truth all the way through the Word of God. Faith in Jesus is essential to finding our forgiveness, finding our eternal life. And the opposite of faith is having doubt. And many times in our life, we struggle with it. We doubt things. We don't understand why things are happening. It's not fair. Why is this happening to me? The Word of God is designed to produce that faith. The Word of God is here so we can learn and grow and we can build that faith. Look at Romans chapter 10, 17. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be reading the Word of God. We don't need to just come on Sunday morning and expect to have our faith energized for the rest of our life. That baseball player, he practices each and every day. For him to get out of that slump, it's hours and hours and hours of practice to get himself out of that slump. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be studying the Word of God. We need to be asking questions. Find ways. Find a Bible study. Find a group. Find ways to encourage one another. When you find yourself in a spiritual slump, pick up your Bible and allow it to rebuild that confident trust. When we have the faith, when we understand what God's doing, maybe we don't have to understand it in a physical form, in the worldly form. Things are being taken from us. But when you have the faith in the Word of God and in what Jesus Christ did for you, you can build that confident trust back up. You can build that faith back up. Second point this morning I have is to fortify your hope. A dictionary says that it involves the happy anticipation of good. And again, hope is not a wishful thinking. It's not, I hope so. I hope it happens. I hope this happens in my life today. It is a confident expectation. A common definition of hope is desire plus expectation. When we put our hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, we know it's going to happen. If you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on the cross of Calvary for you, you believe that Jesus Christ went to the cross, that He died, and that He rose again according to the Scriptures, you are already seated in the heavenlies. That is your hope. One day the rapture will occur. It's a guaranteed, it's going to happen. It's not a wishful thinking, but you will be a part of that rapture if you are a part of the body of Christ. Hope is necessary to preserve. You know, I look at unbelievers today and I don't know how they get through this life. If something happens to them, I don't know how they get through it. If they lose a loved one, it's got to be devastating. The hope that we have in Jesus Christ gives us what we need to preserve, to persevere. Hope is necessary to increase opportunities to evangelize. Look at 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. Verse 15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and in fear. I really hope that in each and every one of us, people can see the hope that we have. That people can see that we have the answer. Yes, there's trials, there's tribulations, there's things that we go through on this life that we don't understand. But with the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can always give an answer. You know, the Word of God was written to provide that hope. The Word of God is here to bring us hope. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Again, we have that hope. We know throughout the Word of God, God keeps His promises. We've seen it time and time again. You've probably seen it in your life. But we never see what's in the past. We forget what happened to us. We forget the hope that He brought us, the promises that He brought us. But we know God keeps His promises, and that's where the hope can come from. You know, when an athlete gets discouraged, a lot of times they're told to keep your eye on the prize. What is it that you're reaching for? And I think we're so short-sighted here on this earth. We can only see tomorrow. We can only see the next day. We can only see this afternoon. but the hope that we have in Jesus Christ is not going to matter. Whatever happens to you today is not going to matter. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep your eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Next thing I have is to activate your love. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Apostle Paul probably gives the best definition of love here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 through 8. Love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not. Love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Love never fails. Love never fails. A simple definition that's easy to remember is an active goodwill. And I think love can give us the assurance of our salvation. Turn over with me to 1 John. 1 can give us that assurance of our salvation. 1 John chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death." 18 and 19 says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and truth. And hereby we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him." You can see in 1 John 4, 7 and 8, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love." You either know God or you don't. You're either activating love or you're not. It's not easy all the time. It's not going to be something we enjoy doing all the time. But we are called to love. We're called to love like the Thessalonians. We can be taught by God how to love. Jesus taught us how to love by his sacrificial life. Jesus Christ knew the entire time he was going to that cross. He could have done anything else that he wanted to do. He could have said, "I'm not doing this. It's not for me." But the love that he had for you and I, he went to that cross. God taught us to love by giving his son as a propitiation for our sins. You can see that here in 1 John 4, 9. It says, "In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because God sent his only begotten son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, and not that we loved God, but that he loved us, sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another." When we truly understand what Jesus Christ did for us, we have nothing more to give but love. When we understand the sacrifice that he did for you and I, and when you have put your faith and trust in that, and you know that you have eternal life, we don't live for him out of fear. We don't live for him to get to heaven. We don't live for him because we're scared of him. We live for him because of the love that he had for us. And then it gives us to give the love back. God loves us. And that is what should activate the love for others. The next thing I had was enhance your joy. The Greek word for joy is chara, and is closely related to the word charis, which is grace. It's undeserved favor, which in turn gives joy, pleasure, delight. Joy then is the response we have to undeserved favor. I like to think of joy as the delightful response to the grace we receive from God. Again, when you understand the grace that we received, what joy it can bring. What a smile it can put on your face. When you realize that your sins should have sent you to hell. When you realize that your sins went to the cross of Calvary with Jesus. He took your sins upon Him. The grace that He gives to us each and every day. Oh, what joy it can bring. I think a lot of Christians lost their joy. A lot of Christians lose their joy. You can see here in 1 John 1:4, he says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Is your joy full today? Are you happy with what you have today? In John 15:11, he says, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Do you have the joy of Jesus Christ? Do you have the joy that the Lord Jesus Christ gives to you? Do you truly understand what He did on the cross of Calvary? That can energize our faith, that can bring us hope, that can activate our love, that can increase our joy. And lastly, I think it can enjoy your peace. We can have a peace that passes all understanding when we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. I don't know if any believer today or any person today has the true peace that we'll have when we meet Him in the air. When we get to heaven, we're going to have a peace that passes all understanding. There's not going to be a care in the world. You're not going to worry about the past. You're not going to worry about the future. I don't even know if there'll be a past and a future. There'll be a present. Instead of worrying about what's for lunch or what I smell or what's going on, what is out there cooking, we'll be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will bring such a peace that we won't be able to understand it. The definition for peace is a harmonious relations. And many times it's described between men, described between nations, between God and man. And I think peace can be in one's own self. A lack of peace often contributes to the spiritual depression that afflict many Christians. Look over with me to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, verse 17. "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." We can have peace in our own life. We can have peace with one another. You don't even have to get along with the person and you can still have a peace. We need to work towards that peace. 2 Corinthians 13:11. It says here, Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. You can enjoy your peace. One of my favorite passages is Romans 5:1. And it says, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. There's no other way that you can bring that peace. There's a separation between God and man. There's a separation that has separated us. And when Jesus Christ went to the cross of Calvary, he brought us back together. And it's up to you whether you put your faith and trust in what Jesus Christ did for you or not. You have to say, yes, Lord, I believe that you went to the cross. Yes, Lord, I believe that you were risen from the dead. Yes, Lord, I believe you did that all for me. If you put your faith and trust in that, you can have the peace with God. There's no more contention. There's no more strife. There's no more stress. And as Philippians says it, if you'll turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Through prayer, through thanksgiving with our heart, we can have a peace that passes all understanding. And I've seen it in people's lives. 3 or 4 years ago, a friend of mine lost her husband. He had 6 months to live, and I've never seen a peace so amazing. If an unbeliever saw what they went through and how they handled it, he knew where he was going. He knew the hope he had. He had the faith that he needed. He was strong. The joy that it brought, the peace that it brought. Faith, hope, love, joy, peace. They're simple words, yet they're still essential to the abundant life Jesus has to offer us. Why are we so often in short supply in the lives of many Christians? Which one are you lacking today? Are you lacking joy? Are you lacking peace? Are you lacking faith? I think it all comes through the Word of God and prayer. You can't just show up on Sunday morning and say, okay, I'm good. We need to get in the Word of God. We need to constantly pray. We need to constantly look for that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When that athlete's in the slump, he's constantly striving to change it. There's nothing the Lord Jesus Christ can do for you unless you reach out to him first. And then he'll bring you the peace. He'll bring you the joy. He'll bring you the faith. He'll bring you the love. He'll bring you the hope. In Colossians 4:2, it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Get implanted in the Word of God. Get into it. Believe it. Study it. Pray over it. If you want a peace, if you want a joy, if you want hope, if you want love, get into the Word of God. I'm not saying everything's going to go right for you. You'll become a millionaire overnight. Everything happens great. That's not the way it works. But when we're focused on the Word of God and when we're focused on what matters, that is what we see. We see what we look for. And when we're in the Word of God and we're praying to the Lord Jesus Christ, we see the faith, we see the hope, we see the love, we see the joy, and we see the peace that we can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for the Word of God. We just pray that each and every one of us, that our faith was energized, that our hope was lifted up. We just pray that we'll go out into the world and that we'll activate our love, we'll show the love. We just pray that we can bring joy to others, that we have joy in our hearts and it overflows. And we pray that we can have a peace that passes all understanding. That is what the Word of God says, and we can have it through your Son. We can have it It's already given to us. When we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it's there. It's up to us whether we take it or not. We thank you for the many blessings that you give to us each and every day, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.